And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, Romans chapter 2, verse 17 presents real challenges to our pride. It's a tough area for me. Paul, under the verbal plenary inspiration of the Holy Spirit, addresses the Jews who rely on God's law for their special relationship with him. They boast about their background and pedigree. However, as Jesus clarified in the Gospels, if people do not respond appropriately to God, even the rocks will cry out in praise. Our background does not guarantee our future. Next, the Apostle Paul intensifies his arguments. He states that you believe you are a guide to the blind and a beacon of light to those lost in darkness. Before anybody labels this as exclusive to the Jewish people, let's understand that many in the Christian realm believe they are guides for all who are blind, including other Christians, and that they are beacons of life for all those in darkness. This is truly a manifestation of pride, which is folly. And finally, this section concludes with the understanding that those who take pride in knowing the law end up dishonoring God by breaking it in other areas. This refers to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 5, which states, "No wonder the world blasphemes the name of God because of how you live your life." This is an indictment for both Jews and Gentiles. Remember, Christians are forgiven, but there's a reason that we need to be in forgiveness.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Remember, folks, it's not professional radio. You can ask Jacob. He'll testify. Jacob, is this professional radio?
No, it is not. It's just radio.
It's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show. That's right. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you're in this country or another country. Probably matters if you're on a different planet because I don't know if they have internet there. Here's what I can tell you. You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
Aww.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, it is. Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, too. I will not confess that we did cheat with a little pint of ice cream together, but that's besides the point.
What kind of ice cream?
Well, Noelle's favorite is mint chocolate chip.
Okay.
She just loves that. And my favorite is peanut butter chocolate.
That's so good.
Yeah. So it's. Just
I'm not a big mint guy, but I do like, what was it, peanut butter?
Yeah, peanut butter chocolate.
Yeah, that's
the Baskin
good.
Robbins
yeah.
peanut butter chocolate was just like, that's like the best one. It's like,
my favorite, yeah. It's tough. I really like cookies and cream.
Oh, that's good, too. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Cookie dough. That one's good, too.
I might have to pick up some ice cream on the way home now.
Talking about it too much.
Yeah, talk about it too much. Here's the bottom line. If you want to call us, if you want to text us, if you want to email us, you can do that. You can stand outside your house and scream really loud. I just don't think that'll work. We have had people try to throw paper airplanes. It does not get through the door. So maybe you can reach out to us in the ways that you can get to us. The bottom line, again, is, I can say bottom line 100 times, if you've got a prayer request, let's pray. I mean, let's pray about it. I'm not going to guarantee anybody anything. God is in charge. We can ask the Lord. We petition. We ask him with thanksgiving and with confidence. And if he says yes, great. If he says no, great. Because his will is perfect, and he knows everything that we need to have and don't need to have. So we'll ask. Maybe we've got a praise report. Something's gone on really well. Eric shared a wonderful praise report earlier. And it's one of those things you have to understand. People get blessed. It reinforces it in their own lives. It blesses other people who hear it. But, of course, the most important part, it gives glory and honor to the Lord. And that's the most important thing. Maybe you've got something going on. You just want to share it. Maybe something on your heart, maybe on your mind. The Lord's been kind of showing you, teaching you. It could be any of that. All of that stuff is good. Maybe you just got something that you've observed or just a word of encouragement. Awesome. That's fantastic. Maybe you'll have your own joke because we'll have a couple of jokes down the road. Maybe you'll like some of the history we share. Maybe you'll have an answer to this trivia question. According to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. According to Exodus 3, 1 and 2. Moses was taking care of his father when God spoke to him in the burning bush. Is that true or false? Moses was taking care of his father when God spoke to him in the burning bush. Was that true or false? Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You'd also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. All right. Now, in the meantime, we're going to do our DNA. And the reason we're going to do our DNA is because we're going to stall on that DNA because somebody's calling in, and that's how you transition in radio from getting ready to do DNA from somebody else calling in so they can answer the trivia question. That's how you do it. You just state it as it is. The trivia question again, Moses was taking care of his father when God spoke to him in the burning bush. Is that true or false? Exodus 3, 1 through 2. And somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Can I order a kosher pizza with a chicken Alfredo, some onions and green pepper and tomato, please?
I'm sorry, this is a kosher pizzeria, and we will not do something so defiled as that to the pizza. Can't do
well,
that.
Well, then I would not give you the answer for the Moses. Because he was kosher.
Awesome. Okay. All right, let me set it up, and then you can answer. Here we go. Let me get through the whole thing. Moses was taking care of his father when God spoke to him in the burning bush. Is that true or false?
False.
That is really good. I'm going to give you props on that one. That was a very funny answer. Nah, I don't think so. What was he doing, brother? What was he doing? He was taking care of what?
Well, he was looking after sheep and it's, yeah.
He's taking care of his dad's flocks, father-in-law's flocks. Like, So yeah. It wasn't he was taking care of his dad. That's exactly right. Very, very good. How are things?
Well, I'm a little discouraged because yesterday I went to the dentist and discovered something that I wasn't expecting. And a little concerned and worried.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to be worried. And we often come across things that we're not prepared for, the things that we didn't think that would happen. But the Lord knew.
I think maybe worried wasn't the right term, a word that I use. It's like, it's not life-threatening or anything. It's more concerned financially.
Yeah, gotcha. It's a drain on the bank, right? It's okay, I got that. All right, let me pray. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a good thing you're not as worried about the health part. You know, I mean, that's good. So, I mean, we're gonna, let's pray over the other thing and ask the Lord to help you, as well as everybody else in our audience who needs help from the bank account being stripped away from the dumbest of things, right? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up my brother Samson to you. Ask you to bless and encourage him. He's a blessing for the audience, and we appreciate him. But, Lord, he's not alone in being concerned that things that come across our table that just, you know, it's just like one more thing to pull out of the bank sometimes is how we feel, Lord. And it's easy to forget that you're at the source. You're the source and the resource. And it's easy when things are trying to take away what we do have. So, Lord, help us to have a trust in you that you know exactly what it is, exactly how to counter, exactly how to provide, and that we don't have to have a fear of what's coming, but a confidence for what's ahead. Not even a depth of worry, more of a nuisance or a pain. Maybe, Lord, that we can just not let those things impact our mind and our hearts and alter anything within our framework of praise and of being close to you, because the enemy's just trying to distract. So keep us free from the spirit of distraction. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Yeah, and I also want to share that I was very encouraged by the brother, the very first caller,
Eric,
who called about his wife and his health, and that really encourages me while I was listening his testimony.
Yeah, that's good, and it's good because it's a great testimony. It's a blessing, and they do a phenomenal just sharing, and you can tell he was just deep in his heart. And it's just cool to see and cool to experience together. That's what's great about fellowship. You know, it's like those kind of things. Like, oh, that's cool. So good call and good shout out for that. I appreciate that.
And Dr. David, do you know how long Kane was angry with his brother?
How long what?
How long Kane was angry with his brother?
As long as he was able.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, brother.
All right, God bless, bro. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. People are like, what is wrong with you people?
Everything.
What do you mean? You're listening. Okay. I'd say that to people quite a bit. Okay, let's go back up to Romans. We'll do this for a brief amount of time. Oh, we didn't get to do our DNA, right? Oh, we got to do our DNA. Sorry. You're going to have to wait. Sorry. That's how it goes. And here's why. I can tell you all the things I can teach you as much as I can communicate to you, and that's not as important as the D in DNA. I don't care. I love teaching. I love that you guys are blessed by it, and it blesses me that you share with me. I love that, right? But there's just nothing more important than D out of DNA. It's just no matter what anybody says ever, anytime, anywhere in the universe, D of the DNA stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. The answer, I'm just going to tell you right now, I don't care what they say in the media. I don't care what they say in academia. I don't care what Hollywood says. Who cares? I don't care what the politicians say. Politician, right? Poly, many ticks, blood-sucking insect. I mean, come on. Draw closer to the Lord daily, because the answer is always more of God, period. If this country had more of God, it wouldn't be in the mess it's in. If this world had more of God, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. It's just, that's it. If you had more of God, it'd be easier. That's the answer. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D-N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. No matter what they throw at you, here's how you don't receive their shaming. Ready? I don't receive it. See? You see how sometimes you'll hear a good word or somebody will pray over you and you go like, I receive that, right? Okay, you just do the exact opposite. When they try to shame you for believing the Word of God and standing in the Word of God, which, by the way, has proved more consistent than anything else ever on the planet, specifically all science, all politics, all academics, all acting and entertainment, all finance, nothing is consistent like the Word of God. Here's how you don't receive it. I don't receive that. That's how you do. You don't let them shame you. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the N out of DNA. And then A, always be ready.
To
to serve.
So it's a very simple question. If the Lord wanted to use you in the next 30 minutes, are you aware of it and prepared for it? That's it. I don't care in what capacity. I'm not saying how. I'm not none of that. I'm not bringing any of that in. Are you just ready? Yes or no? And if you're not ready, get ready. And if you don't know how to get ready, ask God to help you be ready. A prayer you can count on, he will say yes to, right? Okay. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your break will be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
So you know what David did? He asked God again. And how did God answer? He answered him. God didn't go, oh, you asked me twice. Strike you with lightning. Strike you with lightning. It's like, that's not how this works. So the scripture says in 1 Samuel 23:4, go check out your Bible. Once again, David inquired of the Lord and the Lord answered him. It's like, go do your thing. Go. It's okay to inquire more than once, even if there's an answer that you've got, because sometimes we look for reassurance and clarity and for comfort and from eliminating hearing mistakes. We're not trying to irritate God. We're not trying to fight against his will. We're not trying to be disobedient. The Lord knows that. See, I think what happens is we'll do something, it'll be sincere action, then somebody else may hear about it, or you mention somebody, and the way they interpret it is different than the way God interprets it. When I come before the Lord, and he says, go do this, and I come before the Lord again and do one of those, are you sure? You know, kind of thing. That's not me trying to be bad. And this is the same kind of thing that happens when you get into the people that one group in Christianity is like, you know, you can't ask for signs at all, because it shows that you either have no faith or you don't believe Jesus is Messiah. Well, first of all, that's not true, because God gave signs all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So that's just silly. The other part of that is people asking for signs like Gideon were just like going, okay, I'm just trying not to mess this up. Right? What Jesus rebuked was the people asking for a sign to prove he was the Messiah. That's substantially different than asking God, I just need to know I'm not doing this dumb. Right? I mean, and that's why what we do is we kind of pour into these rules and these reasonings, and it's like, you know what? Don't do that. Come before the Lord, be yourself. You know, you don't have to you don't have to posture before God. He already knows. It's like, you know, I just want you to know I'm not going to look up right now. Now, if you really feel that way, that's fair. But don't do that because you're trying to impress God, because he knows you're trying to impress him. So then don't do that. Just tell him what's going on. Share your heart. Share your feelings. One of the things that I see about prayer, and this is a true statement. Some people say, well, people pray to get things changed. It's maybe better to say that we pray so that God changes us. That might be more accurate, so that we get into a surrender or a yielded position. It's not that you can't have faith, not that you can't pray, but what I'm talking about is coming and yielding and going, I'm just trying to get the clarity. I want to know what I'm doing is what you want to do. I think it's a very important element for people who are seeking wisdom, just to be as earnest and honest as possible. If the Lord grants you a sign, the bigger problem about that is most of the time, like for Israel, they didn't believe it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question, then into the teaching we will go. Here is another. Remember, these are all true and false today. And your reference point, by the way, is John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Verse 1 through 2. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1 through 2. Mary Magdalene was the first person to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. Is that true or false? Angels are not counted in this. Mary Magdalene was the first person to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. True or false? Actually, the key in there is person. Is that true or false? Your reference point, John chapter 20, verse 1 through 2. If you think you know the answer, 972 445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. And then additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So according to John 20, verse 1 through 2, Mary Magdalene was the first person to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. Is that true or false? You can reach out to us, and we will do our best to answer you. In the meantime, we do have a couple of jokes that we're going to wait on. Ah, ha, ha, ha. That's a pretty good one, right? That was kind of I fooled everybody. Did you like that? That was pretty funny.
Yeah, you fooled me.
Hey, let me ask you this, Jacob. What, my friend, what do you think of that, Jacob? What do you think of that?
Here is what I think.
That's right, people. Nothing but top-notch biblical training from left to right.
Okay. Some people that are listening are so confused right now.
I know. Okay. To the text we go. If you think you know the trivia question, by the way, Mary Magdalene was the first person to testify to the resurrection of Jesus. True or false? John chapter 20, verse 1 through 2. That is where you will find your information. If you think you know, call 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Into Romans we go. Romans chapter 2, verse 17. If you are a Jew, you're relying on God's law for your special relationship with him. You boast that all is well between yourself and God. Yes, you know what he wants you to know, right from wrong, because you have been taught his law. Romans chapter 2, verse 17 presents real challenges to our pride. Paul, under the verbal plenary inspiration of the Holy Spirit, addresses Jewish people who rely on God's law for their special relationship with him. They boast about their background and pedigree. However, as Jesus clarified in the gospel, if people do not respond appropriately to God, even the rocks would cry out. So our background does not guarantee our future. I want to make this point, then we'll bring our caller in. The background that you have does not guarantee the procedures you will go in. Yes, you have to raise up train a child in a certain way, and they will not depart thereof. But that background and pedigree does not ensure a person following Jesus Christ. What it ensures is that they will be introduced and they will have that opportunity. But what is lacking is some people look to something from their past and go, this is my background, therefore I am this. And what we're going to notice is that this is really just about having a Bible knowledge, not necessarily an intimate or epigenosa knowledge. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But first, we're going to give somebody the opportunity to answer the trivia question. So let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
Oh, lots better today, Gary. I'm doing I'm doing just a lot better than yesterday, because remember I told you I was kind of rebellious. And now I just kind of feel like that forgiveness and the freedom from that guilt has washed over me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, that's
better. Well, I've been praying for you. I'll continue to pray for you.
Yeah, keep doing that, man. I need that. And you know I need that. All right, let's get to the triv question, then we're going to pray for you as well. True or false, according to John chapter 20, verse 1 through 2, Mary Magdalene was the first person to testify to the resurrection of Jesus.
That is true.
You are correct, Amanessa!
At least testify that he was gone, that his body was gone.
Yep. She's the first one that picked up on it, got it, understood it. Like, you know, she should get some props from that. But, you know, people. You know.
I thought somebody had taken the body and done something with it. But anyway.
Yeah, this is like, what happened? Where'd it go? What's going on? It's just like the moment. You know, you always want to just, you know, and I know because if you watch The Chosen or some of the other films, you always want to be there, like sitting on a rock watching it going, what happened? What happened? What happened? It's just like you want to be there in the moment just to see it. I just think, I can't wait till we relive it, you know, in heaven and you get to see it and so on and so forth. But that's just my take on it. I mean, I think it'll be awesome. All right, let me pray over you and ask the Lord to bless you and heal you because that's what we want prayer for, okay? That good?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now, and I thank you for my brother Gary. I ask you to bless him and encourage him. He needs grace in many areas, and we ask you to extend that grace to him in those areas. We ask you to give him kindness in different things that he's dealing with. But, Lord, we're asking for a very specific kindness, a very specific petition, that you would bring healing power into his body. And that he would find the power of the resurrection that we're discussing inside of him. And that his body would be restored. His insides would be restored. He would be renewed by your power. By you. By the grace and the mercy that comes from you. Bring healing into Gary's life. We're not going to stop asking. We're not going to stop praying. So we're asking you to do this thing right here and bring healing to him and let us all rejoice with him in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and I'll be praying for all of you, and God bless you.
You too, brother. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, so let me go back to this text here. This is really important. So it says, if you are Jewish and you are relying on God's law for your special relationship with him, you boast that all is well between yourself and God. Yes, you know what he wants. You know right from wrong because you've been taught his law. Let me explain something to you. There are people that have a tremendous amount of Bible knowledge, much more knowledge than I have. I know people in my life that have much more knowledge than me. But you know how much they're using in quotables versus livables, therein lies the big difference. If we all did as much as we knew in the Bible, we would all be phenomenal Christians on a regular basis. Now, I'm not saying that to degrade what you know. What I'm saying is that sometimes our knowledge surpasses our productivity. And even in this text, and I'm going to try and get into this a little bit, this is really a call for those that have a knowledge of the word but don't actually know the Lord. And I want to make sure you understand the difference. Abraham had no Bible, but he knew the Lord deeply, didn't he? And there are people that have a Bible, that have the law, that have the word, and they know of God, but from a distance. What we need to do is move from that gnosis, which is the knowledge, to epigenosis, which is a knowledge by contact, where the word of God is not just something we know at a distance, but it's a part of who we are. And because it's a part of who we are, we're a part of him. And what people do is they think, all I got to do is know this. No, the scriptures lead us to the relationship with the Lord. But to know the scriptures and not to know the Lord means that we're not doing it by faith. We're not doing it by the Holy Spirit. We're doing it by human intellect and assent. And that falls short. You know God, epigenosa, know by contact, by relationship with God. If your special relationship is simply because you can quote more than somebody else, you're not fooling anybody. Most specifically, you're not fooling God. You need, like I need, to have the Word of God processing in us on a regular, continual, deep, impacting, affecting basis, which is why when I read my Bible, when I encourage you guys to read your Bible, stop. And ask God to make it a part of you so that his words, living words, are living within you. And it's not an intellectual assent, but a growth in what you hear him say to you. Get that? That's just cool stuff, man. You got to do it. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody looking. I know that the teachings in the church and being a Baptist, somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is. I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. I just, when you're hearing scripture, you don't have to put all the scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. There's a whole teaching on, it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people. Believers. Good believers. Great believers. Fantastic believers. Lousy believers. Believers. And everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. That doesn't. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, hey, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know. I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is that sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought because God was bragging about him and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your next trivia question, by the way, this reference will be Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. Is this true or false? When the flood occurred, Noah was 700 years old. True or false? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I'm going to send you up to the website, as we often do at this particular juncture of the show. At this time in the show. Bottom line to that is simply, if you are able to participate on the website, do so. You don't have to give. We want you to give. Sure we do. But you don't have to. What you can do is just enjoy some of the stuff on the website. We want you to take all of it. Use it. You know what? Steal our stuff. Copy it. Share it. Do whatever you want. Great. Because the more people that hear it and know it, the better. We don't care.
Well, you won't get paid.
So what? The Lord will take care of it. If there's anything on the website that's helpful or useful, use it. That's how we would think of it. Articles, like I said, there's 4,500 hours of podcasts, so if you're bored, I got another place to bore you. Additionally, you can put a praise report or a prayer request directly from the website. Super, super, super easy. You click a button, then you fill out a little form. Doesn't track you. Doesn't do anything. It's just that simple. Plus, there's a place to give. Check all of it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Yes, I could not do that on a drum set.
Can you feel it coming in the air tonight?
Yes. It's just that simple. Once more, the trivia question. Your reference, by the way, Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. Genesis 7, 6. When the flood occurred, Noah was 700 years old. Is that true or false? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we're going to do history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, so a couple of things to go over. None of these are huge or anything like that, but it's kind of interesting. Today is Polar Bear Day. I have no idea. I just have to
know.
Polar
bears are cool.
You know, they're cool, but does the polar bear know that it's Polar Bear Day? Like, did somebody go up to the North Pole and go, hey, guys, your day today, right? Kind of weird, right?
Maybe they're celebrating drinking a Coca-Cola.
That's it. They're getting their royalty checks. That's it right there. Today is National Strawberry Day. Okay, love strawberries. That works for me. And this I thought was funny, and you'll have to work with me on this. And I understand the correlation, but it's not exact. Today is National Protein Day, but on the Protein Day, they showed chicken wings. So it's just like that's kind of a – it's Protein Day. It's like saying here it's chicken – you know, I mean, how is protein and chicken wings like that direct connection? I don't know. That seemed kind of cheaty. Am I wrong?
I guess we can say it's also Eat Unhealthy Day, I guess.
Eat them with lots of barbecue sauce day. Yeah, that's a lot of protein right there. For those that do not know, on this day in 1879, the artificial sweetener saccharin was discovered. And I'm going to make this plug for my mom, who passed away several years ago, but you know, she used to have a lot of sweet and low. We have some sweet and low in our kitchen here. And I know what people say, oh, that causes cancer. And my mom had the best line. If I took a mouse and dropped it in 5 gallons of hot coffee with saccharin in it and it drowned and died, I would say saccharin is bad too. That's what she said.
Pretty good.
I thought that was hilarious. And then finally, this is kind of funny. In 1982, listen to this. The first $1 million winner in the Professional Bowlers Association, Earl Anthony, after he won a $38,000 prize in Toledo, he became the first bowler to win in 1982 a $1 million prize. So he went from a $38,000 prize to a $1 million prize. That's a big...
Are you a good bowler?
No. No. I did go over 200 a couple of times, but no.
I've bowled like 200 one time.
Yeah.
The one time I did, I thought I'm like the best ever. And then since then, haven't come close.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, you know, that mine was, you know, it was a moment. I must not have been paying attention. That's probably how I did it. Okay, back to the trivia question. We'll just make sure everybody knows what's going on there. The trivia question, when the flood occurred, Noah was 700 years old. Is that true or false? If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770, text 214-210-8483, or send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. Back to the text we go in Romans. And now, Paul, now it gets worse. I'm not stalling or anything. This is what it says. Verse 19. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a beacon of light to people who are lost in darkness without God. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the way of God. For you are certain that in God's law you have complete knowledge and truth. By the way, as a reference point, these are the things I find fascinating. In verse 17, 18, 19, and 20, so in four verses, the phrase you is used 12 times. See what's going on there? You, 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 you. And Paul says, you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a beacon of light for people who are lost in darkness without God. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the way of God, for you are certain that God's law, that you have complete knowledge and truth. Paul intensifies his arguments, which it's already getting intense. He states that you believe you're a guide for the blind, a beacon of light for those lost in darkness. So before anybody gets off on this one tangent and says, well, this is really just for the Jewish people, you find out in chapter 1, 2, and 3 that all of this is for Jews and Gentiles. And there are plenty of Christians who think they are the guides for all who are blind, including other Christians. And that they are the beacons of life for everybody who's in darkness. They're the answer. They're it. That's the manifestation of pride, and it's the height of folly. Some people look at theological strings and come up with eschatological understandings that are all-millennial, premillennial, post-millennial. Not any of those is that much brighter than the person right next to them. Some people have a completely different take on angelology, demonology, or soteriology, other than it has to be centered in Christ. Some people have a completely different approach to ecclesiology. They're just like going, oh, it's completely different here, or theology proper, or pneumatology. None of that means anything. And here's why. As smart as every person potentially is, they're not smart like God. That's number one. And number two, they are not smart because of their own efforts, but God's grace in their lives. Every gift is from above. Every gift. I get on the show, and this is sometimes I say things, and they're probably kind of dopey. Okay. But then I get on the show and I say some cool things. You know, when I'm done with the show and I'm driving home, I thank the Lord that he let something cool come out of my mouth. Like, thank you. Because I am often, you know, I do a lot of study, but I'm not as bright as many of these people. And the point is, nobody's the beacon. God is the beacon. And so never think of yourself as the Christian that has all the answers. Or, I just have to say this because I've had this encounter recently, or the Christian that has that special, unique connection to God that nobody else has, thereby ripping to shreds the Bible verse that says God has no favorites. I'm just saying. It's just like, no, no, no. Here's what the thing is. If the Lord uses you to teach and to help somebody, praise the Lord. It's the best. Partnering with God is the best thing, but it only happens because of God. It's not him that plants or him that waters that is anything, but God who gives the growth. Like, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. Just, you know, it's not really, you know, difficult to, you know, to understand that. It's awesome to be connected to the Lord and to work in partnership, but it's because of him. And if you really want to be smart, really intellectually, or let's not say intellectually, really knowing the Word of God inwardly and outwardly and being really connected, you know. And one of the things we were talking about is being intimate with the Word. And I want to thank Steve for saying, hey, that's where the expression eating the Word comes in. It's like, really good, really good. If you really want to be that way, here's your answer. More of Jesus. Because in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the best thing to do is that. And if you can be a light by the grace of God and recognize it's by the grace of God, more power to you, because you want to point people to Jesus. You just don't want them to be just like you. You want them to be like Jesus. So if you know a lot, that's cool. But you use what you know to point people to the Lord. That's the goal, right? Okay, true or false? He's got the pink ping pong ball up there. Oh, it's a good thing I came.
Yeah, we got it ready.
All right. True or false? When the flood occurred, Noah was 700 years old, according to Genesis chapter 7, verse 6. The answer is false, false, false. He was 600 years old, not 700 years old. There's your answer. We'll take our short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What happens when he stops following Christ? You stop following him. And what about 2 Corinthians 2:14? Not that we rule over your faith, Paul said. What? Not that we rule over your faith. So this whole notion that there's this authority structure and that people have to obey, because if they don't obey in every nuance, they're going to be, you know, zapped or whatever. Ours was better. You know what our story was? Ken told the story about past congregations he had, how about people who disobeyed him and spoke evil about them, and how God killed them. That's what he told us. In fact, it was true that somebody out of the 110 people out of his three previous churches, we'll just leave that there. One person did die. Wow, one out of 110. They picked up a hitchhiker on their way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hey, I pastored in Flagstaff. And the hitchhiker ended up killing the guy because the guy was a mental case. But Ken used that after his church was closed 15 years later, saying, see? What? But we were too dumb to know. So now you have the same guy that told us how to attack a Christian leader, telling us we can no longer attack Christian leaders unless he, the anointed of God, gives us permission. He's in charge, and we can't challenge him or question him. And, oh, by the way, if we talk about the anointed or touch the prophets of God, God will kill us, and he's him. So he's the one of the anointed, so we can't touch him. Even though none of that is scriptural, none of that is right, and all of that is wackadoodle. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your final trivia question. True or false, when Jesus went to talk to Nicodemus, or when Nicodemus went to talk with Jesus, he used the wind as an illustration. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. Is that true or false? Jesus used the wind as an illustration. That's the part I want you to focus on. Jesus used the wind as an illustration when he was talking to Nicodemus. Is that true or false? John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, while you guys are figuring that out, I do have a couple of jokes. There's only three, and they're very short. Are you ready for them?
I'm ready.
They're not necessarily in the order of good. In this order. What has four legs and flies? Four legs and flies. a picnic table. See? Picnic table. See?
You serious, Clark?
Yeah. Okay. What is the definition of a financial genius? A person who can earn money faster than the family can spend it. That's pretty good. Why did Humpty Dumpty have a great fall? To make up for a terrible summer. That's it.
You're killing me, Smalls.
That seems very appropriate for that one right there.
That first one, for some reason, you know what popped in my head right away?
What?
Four legs and a fly. I was like, flying squirrel?
Have you had enough to eat today, or is this just not you?
I am hungry.
Okay. I think talking about the ice cream probably didn't help, right? Okay. All right. That's kind of my fault. Well, when Jesus and Nicodemus talked, he used wind as an illustration. Is that true or false? John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. That is the reference point. Is it true or false? You can reach out to us by 972-445-0770 as a phone call. You can text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So into Romans we go, verse 21. So I want people to understand why I'm telling you some of these things. Romans chapter 2, verse 21, as we go through the rest of chapter 2, which is like, 29 through verse 29 or so, and then you get into chapter 3, the beginning half of that chapter. These are all of the indictments on mankind. Sin, 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 sin. First you find out that people that reject God, full of sin. Then you find out the Jews are full of sin and the Gentiles are full of sin. Then you find out that the Jews who think that they're really smart, they're full of sin. And you're just going to find out as you go along that it's sin, 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 sin. Chapter 1, 2, and half of 3 are everybody is under sin, period. The other part of chapter 3 comes back, and then that's where the things change. And it's like, okay, now that we've established everybody's under sin, now we're going to pick it up and go forward into grace, 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 faith, 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 and everything along those lines. But before we get there, you have to finish what's being discussed. And here's a fascinating portion in 21. He says, well, then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? So he's talking about the people, the Jewish people who think, I know the word, I'm a beacon of light. He goes, well, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal. Do you steal? You say it's wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit it? You condemn idolatry, but do you steal from pagan temples? You're so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scripture says the world blasphemes the name of God because of you. This all has to do, this entire segment right here I just read you, all has to do with hypocritical positions of faith. The idea is to challenge those who believe they can instruct other people but are ignoring the law themselves. In other words, they're teaching the law, but they're not even following the law. You're teaching others. You're not teaching yourself. Basically, he's saying is your actions are not reflecting your knowledge. That's what I said to you when I was saying we know much more than we do. Our knowledge exceeds our actions often. And so the section is concluding with a reference to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 5, where it says, the world blasphemes the name of God because of how you live your life. The indictment is both for Jews and Gentiles. But here's the key in understanding this. Christians are forgiven. If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you're forgiven. Okay? But there is things in your life that need work on, the sanctification process. So if you're going to teach others, and you should, just don't be hypocritical like you're standing on a podium and you're better than everybody else, or you know so much more than everybody else, which is where the whole reference to, you know, being a beacon to those who are blind is coming into play, a beacon of light to those who have no knowledge. The idea is you are supposed to teach, you are supposed to communicate, but don't do it with this sense of arrogance. And if you know that you're struggling in some area or failing in an area, don't try and pull it off like you're not. Be who you are. Don't try and be better than you are. That's why grace exists. Because you're never going to pull it off to the level. In fact, and I have this contention with many, and it doesn't bother me all that much. I just believe God's word is far superior to anybody who exhibits it except for Jesus. And Paul makes that reference in Philippians 1. I could absolutely write a treaty on that to defend it. But that's what I'm trying to say to you is simply this. Teach others, but be humble about it. Or teach others and be honest about it. Or teach others and let them know, hey, I'm still growing in all this stuff too. There is nothing in Christianity I have mastered except for blowing it on occasion before the Lord. Well, I've mastered that. And that my whole point is, his whole premise and the whole buildup here is, hey, don't be hypocrites when you're doing this stuff. Just be, you know, be who you are. Teach others, encourage others, strengthen others, but then don't come off as, I'm better than you. I'm holier than thou. No, you're not. Everyone is a sinner. In fact, we get to chapter 3. You know, you already know this. No one is good, not even one. No one has understanding. Nobody seeks God. That's like very, that's very much of an indictment to everybody, right? Which one was righteous? The Pharisee who went into the temple and said, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, and I'm glad I'm not like this tax collector over here. And when Jesus gave the story, he said the tax collector beat his breast and said, I can't even look up. I need your mercy. And he said one of those two went away justified. And it wasn't the Pharisee. That's what he's saying. That's what's being taught. That's what's being communicated. Get that? It's kind of cool, right? Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, used the illustration of wind. Is that true or false? It is true! John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. It is true! Illustration of wind, when he's talking about the Holy Spirit and being born again. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Who knows when a broken heart will mend? Broken hearts don't.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.